From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kotsokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com. Section 64 of the Electronic Communications Act restricts foreign entities from having more than 20% interest in any commercial broadcasting services within South Africa. Now, after French paid television company Canal Plus increases equity in MultiChoice to 30%, concerns have been raised on the legality of this equity acquisition. In this episode of iAfrican Bites, from ICT law firm PPM Attorneys, we're joined by Lucian Pierce to unpack the interpretation of Section 64 and understand the legality of Canal Plus's acquisition. Southern African Bites. Lucian Pierce, thank you so much for joining us today. A very topical, a very sort of interesting story that we're covering today. Now, Lucian, Section 64 prohibits foreigners, whether directly or indirectly, of having a financial interest or interest in either voting rights or paid up capital for commercial broadcasting licenses. It says that it shouldn't exceed 20%. Now, explain this clause. What does it mean exactly?
So, Badawun, perhaps some background as to why we've got this this particular provision, if you want, you know, the history behind it and why we've got this restriction, which I think will give people some context. Is that fine if I give you? So you know, in the bad old days, pre-democracy, as I call it, the state owned all the broadcasting resources. Mm. The state owned the SABC, and there were very few independent radio stations. The only one that comes to mind for me was a radio station called Capital Radio that broadcast from the Eastern Cape and on a very poor signal. And it wasn't very well liked because they were quite frank about their assessment of the country at the time and were quite liberal, etc. But the reason most countries prohibit foreign ownership is you want to ensure that, one, locals own the broadcasting resources, mm-hmm. and secondly, you want to avoid a situation where a foreigner is able to exert control over the radio station or the broadcaster, thus influencing the message, you see. So that's one of the main concerns, and you'll find that it is common across many different jurisdictions, different countries, to have a limitation on ownership like this. But now back to your question as to what this means, and I'm just going to look at the note. Now, if you read that clause, and I'm going to repeat it, a foreigner may not, whether directly or indirectly, that's very important, uh-huh. have a financial interest or an interest either in voting shares or paid up capital in a commercial broadcasting licensee exceeding 20%. So there are a couple of components there. Have a financial interest or interest in voting shares or paid up capital. So voting shares. So if we look at, you know, let's take the MultiChoice example, if that's one I can touch on, because that's been in the media recently.
Please.
Now there, what this, if you read it strictly, what it means is that either people who have shares may not have shares that allow exceed 20%. In other words, 20% voting rights, or they cannot have a financial interest, in other words, earn dividends and other ways of getting income. Typically, dividends are the only way. So if foreigners earn more than 20% of the income, if I can put it simply, of an entity, then there's a problem in terms of this section of the act. So to put it simply, if you have foreigners who carry more than 20% of the votes in an entity, that's a problem. If you have foreigners who earn more than 20% of the dividends, if I can put it simply again, of a company that has a broadcasting license, then you're on the wrong side of the law. It's as simple as that.
Now, Lucian, in your opinion, is this limitation of foreign ownership reasonable? And do you expect sort of a constitutional challenge against this?
I think it is reasonable. And the reason I say it's reasonable is for what I said during the intro. You know, in the past, particularly in South Africa, it was very difficult for a representative part of society to own an interest in a broadcaster or in some other media. It was very, very difficult. So the intention is to allow and make it easier for South Africans to own an interest in this broadcasting resource, because you'll remember that frequency is a finite resource. There's only so much. And so therefore, we want to keep as much as possible for South Africans. And in effect, if I can say, to redress the inequalities of the past. And again, the second reason, which I touched on, was to try and avoid a different message. I'm not saying all foreigners would come with intentions and ulterior motives, but there's always that chance that you get somebody who comes in, perhaps a state that takes major ownership in a broadcaster that is then able to influence the message. And we all know that if you have a monopoly over the message, you dictate what a lot of people think. Now, if you look at Russia at the moment, and you look at what's going on between Russia and Ukraine, you'll see that there is a huge amount of control that is being exercised over the Russian media and the message that media can convey. And you know, I haven't done any research on what the outcome is, but certainly there is, you know, a lot of people are probably hearing the same message because there's only one particular angle being taken.
Now, Lucian, this has been multi-choice rebuttal. Now, it says that the voting rights of foreigners will collectively be restricted to below 20%. And this would then make multi-choice compliant in terms of the act. Is this the correct way to look at it, to think about it? Or is this the correct solution for multi-choice to be compliant with the act?
So, you know, there's not a problem with that excuse. Or that rationale or basis for justifying the fact that I think it's Canal Plus or Canal Plus, however you want to pronounce it, that now owns, is it 30%, if I'm not mistaken?
30%, yes, 30%.
So what MultiChoice is saying is that through their various governance documents, and I think, you know, if you look at the SENS announcement, SENS is basically the Johannesburg Stock Exchange news service. The SENS announcement that they put out, you know, they say that, as you've rightly pointed out, foreign owners of an interest in MultiChoice will not have more than 20% voting rights, and they justify it that way. But the question we have to ask, and if we go back to that section that you read, there are at least two bases, not just voting rights, but also financial interest.
Indirectly.
So you have to ask yourself, now, if foreigners own 30% of MultiChoice and the Act limits financial interest, in other words, dividends, you know, what you earn from the company, to 20%, is a right-thinking foreigner going to invest, you know, buy 30% of MultiChoice to only earn 20% of the dividends, let's say? That's not going to be the case. If I'm investing,
it doesn't make sense.
Precisely, I want 30% of what I'm entitled to. Now, on the face of it, that seems like a problem, doesn't it? Because you know, the Act limits financial interest to 20%. But, you know, on the face of it, as I say, there's a problem. But multi-choice, I suspect, is relying on an interpretation that the Act has of financial interest, because the ECA, which is the Electronic Communications Act, which regulates broadcasting and ownership and all of that, it has a definition of financial interest. And, you know, I don't know whether you want me to read the definition or not, but that definition is, for, I suppose, from multi-choice's perspective, a little unclear and can be interpreted, I would expect multi-choice's lawyers to argue this, in a way that actually allows foreigners to earn more than 20%. But my interpretation of the definition of financial interest is not that way. So in my view, there is definitely a contravention of Section 64, which talks to limitations on financial interest, control, ownership, those sort of things. So I think there's a problem here.
But Lucien, for our listeners listening, they might be thinking to themselves, but hold up, how did it even come to beyond 20%, like 30%, from a procedural point of view? There's bodies that make sure that, you know, everything, all the T's and I's are dotted and crossed. How, procedurally, how did they essentially get more than 20%? I don't understand that.
So there is indeed a body that regulates this area, and it normally exercises very good oversight over licensees. Mm-hmm. In fact, that authority is called ICASA, the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa. And what ICASA does is annually, it requires licensees such as MultiChoice, such as the other private sector broadcasters, to file a return that highlights changes in ownership, black economic empowerment aspects, and a host of other statistics that ICASA monitors. And one of those requirements is regarding ownership. And there is a requirement to note any changes in ownership. So, you know, it would be interesting, and I didn't do it before this discussion, but ICASA publishes those annual reports, and it would be interesting to see what ICASA says about ownership aspects, because from what I remember vaguely is, you know, Canal Plus, their ownership has been increasing steadily over the years, to the point where, you know, on the 10th of February, I think it was announced that they will now own 90%. So over the years, ICASA would have or should have been keeping an eye on this. You know, either there's been some sort of exemption that has been applied for, or some submissions were made which might have convinced, and I'm speculating here, which might have convinced ICASA that MultiChoice's interpretation of financial interest is the correct one, or it might just have been overlooked. But we need some clarity on it.
Definitely, definitely. Lucien, lastly, you did mention the fact that this is standard practice globally. Many countries, put this limitation on foreign ownership over commercial broadcasting services, right? Has there been case law that has challenged this position from a global comparative?
Well, interestingly, in South Africa, we haven't had any cases that deal with Section 64. It hasn't come to that. What I can say is that certainly other countries enforce this. Canada, for example, has a limitation similar to us, to South Africa, of 20%. Countries like Brazil are extremely strict, do not allow any foreign ownership, and even limit the ownership of Brazilians who have not been residents or citizens, I can't remember the exact category, for less than 10 years. Countries like the United States limited to 25%, but in certain instances on motivation, allow it to go beyond that. And then you have a country like Chile, which doesn't have any restrictions. So there are different approaches in different countries. But generally, from what I've seen, there are restrictions in many countries on foreign ownership.
Lucien Pierce, thank you so much for joining us on iAfrican Bites. Looking forward to this developing story, and we'll definitely, as iAfrican, keep an eye on this. Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iafrican.com. That is iafrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show, produced by Nzalo Mbangana, content producer and host Madon Kotokwane, and content manager Machabe Mabunda.